L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's officially hour number three on the Early Line, Thursday morning edition from March 7, 2024. The dancing shoes are on. We've been talking NBA action, a lot more fun, the hottest topics across the landscape. That's what we do right here on the Early Line. It's Davis and Donnie in the morning having some fun. And also, breaking news has been continuously breaking here on this show, which is fantastic because we love to get that information right out to the people. We told you about Karl-Anthony Towns, but let's flip it over to the NFL. We're talking about all-pro safety Justin Simmons has just been released from the Denver Broncos. It looks like here, Davis, as we're setting the table, running backs are having a tough time out here, and now so are safeties. The safety market is incredible in free agency now.
Yeah, look, if you need a linebacker, if you need a safety, if you need a running back, you can definitely go and acquire one of those guys in free agency. You need a tackle? Do you want a wide receiver? You better draft them. You better draft them, or you better trade for one, because you are not going to be getting a game-breaking player at either of those positions in free agency. That's what I think a lot of championship teams are just going to be doing over the next 5, 10, 15 years is your first-round pick, you pick Buffalo, you pick 24th overall, you decide, actually, you know what? We are not going to take Keon Coleman. We are not going to take A.D. Mitchell here at 24. We want a wide receiver. Why don't we call Cincinnati and see if they are actually interested in just giving us T. Higgins for that pick instead of paying him, was it $24 million on that franchise tag for year one? I think we will see a lot more of that over the next few years, Donnie.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch you play out so far. As we welcome in the radio audience, you're watching and listening live right here to the Early Line, Thursday morning edition, Davis and Donnie, Sirius XM Channel 159, all of the radio affiliates now in the fold here as we talk some Fade the Public polling here at Sports Grid TV on Twitter /X. The question this morning here, Davis, was, will the 2024 NBA Finals be Boston Celtics versus Denver Nuggets? A slight twist here over that break. Now we're seeing as much as 60% of the votes, dipping down to 56.8% on no, that will not be the matchup, and yes, at 43.2%. If we're asking this question, like the Eastern Conference to me, it's the Boston Celtics, they run it here. And yes, I think Milwaukee is good, and there are some talented teams behind it, but clearly the best team right now for me in the NBA is the Celtics. Let's put them in the finals. But the question mark seems to be the Denver Nuggets. And I don't know why we have a question mark. The Boston Celtics aren't out here winning championships. Last year, it was the Denver Nuggets winning the championship. But obviously, the pathway to get to the NBA Finals in the West seems a little bit more daunting than the East. So if we're focusing on the Denver Nuggets and big news coming out of Minnesota, where Karl-Anthony Towns probably will be out for the rest of at least the remaining parts of the regular season and into the playoffs if he comes back at all. So the question here is it the Denver Nuggets that we're questioning, even though, Davis, they were the NBA champions last year, returning back to the finals?
Yeah, I am questioning the Denver Nuggets. I guess I am not questioning the Denver Nuggets specifically as a team. I'm questioning the Denver Nuggets' ability to win four rounds compared to, you know, even market odds. Like, if I was being asked to bet this at even money, or let's even say like plus 150 to get this finals matchup correct, I just think, like, okay, you have to beat maybe the Suns, maybe the Warriors, maybe the Lakers, the Kings, I think would be a pretty easy matchup, honestly, for the Denver Nuggets there in round two. But then you were talking about, then you have to beat maybe the Suns, maybe the Clippers. Clippers are a bad matchup. So much space there, and just a lot of hard work for Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon on defense. I just honestly don't love the odds. And then having to beat one of those top three seeds there in the eventual conference championship, like, it's just a much more difficult road for the Denver Nuggets compared to the Boston Celtics, who will get at least one bye, right? I mean, let's just be real about what the Eastern Conference is. That matchup against Philadelphia without Embiid, the Pacers, the Bulls, the Hawks, whoever comes out of the play-in, that is a bye. And then in the second round, you get to play a Knicks team that is like the most minutes the starters have ever played in the history of the sport. Josh Hart every single night shows up to work and is like, well, I guess I'm just sprinting back and forth for 48 minutes, and it's all I get to do out there. You know, the Magic are the four seed. Imagine the Celtics getting to play in this conference semifinals against the Magic. Like, it's just, I mean, that is the most maybe a gentleman sweep. Like, it's not even fair. It's just so easy for the Celtics. Like, it just compared to what the Nuggets have to do.
Let's take a look at the Western Conference odds here, by the way, at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the West. The Denver Nuggets are the favorite at a +175 price. But how about this? Followed by the Clippers and now the OKC Thunder at a +650 price. Yesterday, they were higher. Now they're lower. Why? Because the Karl Anthony Towns news, which then flips over here, Davis, as we look at the Phoenix Suns at a +850 price. The Minnesota Timberwolves just flashed now from a 13-1 down to a 19-1. They are tumbling like a rock right now, Davis.
I mean, as they should be, because not you have the knock-on effects of not having Karl Anthony Towns in there, but then you've got to move Naz Reid to being a full-time starter. And Naz Reid is a good player. He's actually, interestingly enough, he's only seventh on the team in minutes because Nikhil Alexander-Walker has been their sixth man. But we're looking at a per 36 minutes guy of Naz Reid. He's like 19 points, 7 rebounds. Like, he's a good player. The guy is not Karl Anthony Towns, but your additional effect there is, okay, now who is going to be your next big after that? Because you can't just play two bigs. Sure, you can play Kyle Anderson some as a power forward, but we're talking about, like, probably a G League call-up. Probably it's going to be like a Luke Garza, maybe a Deshaun Nix as kind of your backup, you know, entering into your rotation there. It's really not ideal for a team with championship aspirations. And clearly, you know, their team was built the right way. You have all these bigs. You don't need to spend money on a fourth big. But when you have a cascading injury, it's not great.
Take a look at the NBA championship odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Boston Celtics certainly a favorite here at +210. Take a look at the Denver Nuggets at +420. But again, these lines are moving this morning due to the news coming out of Minnesota, the torn meniscus here for Karl Anthony Towns. They now slide all the way back to that 32-1 crew, which now has the Miami Heat along with the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Dallas Mavericks, and the New York Knicks. The Philadelphia 76ers also battling a superstar player with a meniscus injury have now dropped from that 30-1 price about a week ago to 39-1. Betting market's changing here, no doubt about it. If we're looking like the Milwaukee Bucks here, Davis, 7-1 price, like, if it's two teams here in the East, is it worth it? Is it worth a chance for the Milwaukee Bucks, or you don't think they can match up against the Celtics?
No, I definitely do. I mean, if I was going to make one of these wagers in the Eastern Conference, that would probably be it. My deal is I'm not really a Doc Rivers guy. I definitely am a Giannis believer. Like, Giannis is better than anyone on the Celtics, and that would kind of be their saving grace. But I don't know. Very hard for me to bet on a Doc Rivers playoff team.
All right, let's have some fun here, keeping on moving the needle. We talked NBA action. We got more guests ahead, which includes our very own Craig Mish. We're going to talk a little NL East, where you know he's telling us the Phillies are winning the division and the World Series. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three rolling along here on the early line. Donnie Wright's side along with Davis Maddock. We've talked a lot of action this morning across every single sport. The one we haven't gotten to yet, which is in spring training and just a few short weeks away from opening day. That's Major League Baseball. But don't you fret, people. We have our Major League Baseball insider, also the host of Newswire, Sports Grid Zone, Craig Mish, joins the program on this Thursday morning. Craig, how's it going out there?
Yeah, we're doing great here. We're closing in on a couple of weeks of spring training. Couple of weeks to go. Pretty soon we'll be talking about opening day. Let's also not forget overseas, the Dodgers will play the Padres, and that's less than 2 weeks away. So an exciting time for baseball.
Certainly is here as we've been going over division by division, getting the people ready for opening day. Today, it's the NL East, and that includes the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, New York Mets, Miami Marlins, and the Washington Nationals. Let's just get it started here first. The favorites at the top of the heap are the Atlanta Braves, followed by the Philadelphia Phillies at a plus 330 price. So I'll ask you to start here. Braves, Phillies, looks like they'll be traveling here, or traveling down that road to win the NL East. Do you agree with the odds makers here at the FanDuel Sportsbook with the Braves, a minus 290 heavy favorite here?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to look at track record of where the Braves have been, and they basically have dominated the division now like they did back when they had Maddux, Glavine, and Smoltz and Chipper Jones. Like doing it again, and they're doing it with another core again, and all these players are signed for a long period of time. So I would expect that to continue this year. It's a rare market of a minus 250 or above that I think is accurate and fair. You know, certainly the Phillies will have to prove that early on in the season they can hang with the Braves, because they've proven they can beat them out in the end by going deeper in the postseason. But for whatever reason, the Phillies have been slow starters thus far this offseason. The Phillies have been relatively quiet. The Braves added Chris Sale. They're hoping that that is the secret sauce to get this pitching staff deeper, maybe into the postseason. But I do agree with the line and the number. I think the Braves should be the favorite. And once again, they're going to have to change something up, I think, at the end of the season, whether it's, you know, their routine, they have these buys and they don't play for a week. But I still do like the Braves probably to win the division again.
They are, I mean, look, other than the Dodgers, they probably are the best team in the National League. Although on Fantasy Sports Today, when we were doing our NL East preview, I brought up, like, the Phillies are kind of just the perfect postseason baseball team, because it's really two strong starting pitchers, and it's just a bunch of guys, Craig. The Philadelphia Phillies, they're top four. They have guys who come to the plate with one thing in mind. The Philadelphia Phillies want to hit dingers. They are very good at hitting those aforementioned home runs. Do you think the Phillies, maybe not in the division, but can challenge the Braves for postseason success in the National League?
Yeah, no, I absolutely think so. And the Phillies have not been afraid to acquire players. Remember, they got Michael Lorenzen at the trade deadline last year, and so they tried harder with the starting pitching. And I do think, as far, Davis, as them in the postseason, they have the best pitcher of them all in Zach Wheeler, like the best between Atlanta and Philadelphia. So in a seven-game series, you have Wheeler three times. I don't know which Brave would go three times in that series. You know, certainly Spencer Strider is great and Max Fried is great. But, I mean, Wheeler is postseason tested at this point and has basically rose to the occasion every time. So I can understand that, and maybe it's more of a thing where you wait till later in the season and then take the Phillies when you know they're not going to win the division, potentially to get a better odds as far as going deeper into the playoffs. Because I think once that's done, FanDuel, DraftKings, they will adjust the odds. The Phillies will be more of a long shot than they are now.
If you take a look here at the NL East, too, and the two top front runners, the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies, the one thing I do love, Craig, is the continuity. The Philadelphia Phillies basically said, yep, we're going to bring Aaron Nola back right away. We're going to extend Zach Wheeler, so we don't have those questions all season long, and primarily the same lineup that you had last year. But the one thing you brought up as well with the Atlanta Braves is they do the same thing. They don't have any whole major issues here. Young pitchers all coming back. That lineup here is secured for years in advance. Talk to me about how that helps a Major League Baseball team when you're knowing, like, you know what? This is the team we're set out with. We've been together a while. The clubhouse is the same. We're not changing major leaders here, and how good that is for a team heading into the 2024 season.
Yeah, well, Donnie, I mean, you said it, like clubhouse culture. When players come over to the Braves, they know what they're getting into. They know the players that are going to be there. It's, you know, there's a lot of track record for describing how the players are treated in the clubhouse with their families and travel, et cetera. And their reviews are always excellent. So I think it takes a special player right now to jump into that mix because, quite frankly, Donnie, this team is so deep in terms of their lineup, very similar to the Phillies, by the way, but the Braves lineup 1 through 9, maybe even a little bit deeper. I mean, if Michael Harris batting at the end of that lineup for Atlanta. So look, you know, health of Acuna, obviously key. Looks like he dodged a major issue and should be ready for opening day coming off the MVP season that he had a year ago. And as far as the starting pitching is concerned, look, Strider's phenomenal. We still have to see that in the postseason. Regular season, he's going to be a Cy Young Award candidate. Sale has looked fantastic thus far this spring. Now, I don't know if that will carry over, but we definitely have to mention that. Max Fried is in the rotation too. Charlie Morton. I mean, I know that they put their win total at 100. You could easily see it going over that again.
You definitely could. The rest of the division here, I mean, look, we have the New York Metropolitans, everyone's favorite wild spending team. Last year, ended up trading away a bunch of the guys that they spent on an 80.5 team win total, 2-1 to make the playoffs. This is the Cohen experience, Craig. I mean, what a bummer for Mets fans who thought that they had found the golden goose just 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's a very strange dynamic to see the Mets win last offseason, them being one of the favorites to win the World Series, them spending over $300 million, everybody pushing up Steve Cohen like he's the best owner since Steinbrenner, and now it's just done. It's over. That's it. All right, that was fun. We realized we can't do it that way. Now we got to do it another way, and really no one even talks about it. It's still like, oh, it's like just accepted. So I would also tell people to be very cautious when you see your favorite team. I know you're happy with them spending $250 or $300 million. It doesn't always lead to success. And by the way, Davis, some major mistakes in Verlander and Scherzer. I mean, paying 40-year-old guys $40 million a season, I don't get any of that. Now, they're going to try and do it differently. Who knows why Cohen's decided to do it? Maybe other people in the room are looking at him like, what are you doing, man? Like, I don't know why all of a sudden he's pivoted from this. You know, could the Mets win 80 games, guys? Yeah, sure, right? But they're a 500 team. They're that on paper. If Senga's not healthy, though, this is going to go under. I mean, they do not have the pitching if this guy is not healthy this season.
Tough times ahead for those Mets, but let's talk about those Miami Marlins here, who had a very good young lineup last year, led by Luis Arraez, who was fantastic last year, flirting with basically 400. He ended up hitting 354, but Josh Bell brings some power here, acquiring him last year in a trade, as well as Jake Berger. Obviously, we know Jazz Chisholm Jr. is a star in the making. This is a good young lineup for the Marlins. Talk to us, Craig, about the outlook for 2024 for those Marlins.
Yeah, I mean, I still think it's a work in progress, remains to be seen. I mean, Soler is a big loss for the Marlins, and they simply didn't replace him. Their starting pitching is going to be very strong, I think, from start to finish, even with the fact that it looks like Braxton Garrett's going to start the season on the injured list. A.J. Puck has looked really good. He could be a player for them that starts game three of the season. But offensively, guys, you know, they're going into another season that's going to be challenging. And as we stand right now, and I hate to do this, but 2 weeks into spring training, they don't have a single player on their team that's going to be on their team opening day that's hit a home run in the spring. So think about that for a minute. They have got to start finding some production offensively. I'm not big in the spring numbers, but Miami's going to be challenged a little bit. And by the way, they have a new president of baseball operations in Peter Bendix. I think this guy's going to do a great job sort of reconfiguring how the organization works. But as far as this year is concerned, I'm sort of up in the air with the way things will go.
Craig, right, real quick, reconfiguring. Go ahead, Davis. Yeah,
you do
go
it.
Ahead.
All right, the Nationals.
Say, Washington,
give me
Nationals.
One thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Give me one thing to be excited about for the Nationals.
I'll give you a lot of things to be excited about. Crow and James Wood. And they got a lot of young prospects that are going to mash. You know, I mean, C.J. Abrams, Davis, if you're not taking him in the NFBC, you're making a huge mistake. He's going to be 30, 40, or 50 this season. Pitching still leaves a little bit to be desired, but there isn't a team that made a better trade, I think, in the last couple of years than trading Juan Soto to get those players back. At the time, I thought it was crazy, but they struck gold.
He's Craig Mitch, our Major League Baseball insider. Spring training almost into the regular season. We'll be back next, College Basketball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into the early line here on Sports Grid. Davis Maddock and Donnie Wrightside with you. We have some incredibly exciting college basketball action coming up. Really, I mean, it starts now because these conference tournaments have produced a lot of great memories over the years. Kind of just a nice little appetizer, an amuse-bouche, if you will, Donnie, for the madness that is going to begin pretty shortly here. We've got two tournaments to break down today. We've got the Missouri Valley, which actually is taking place just right down the road from my house. If I wanted to go and watch Murray State play at noon, honestly, I could. Maybe I will make some time in my schedule to go see Evansville and Illinois State. Indiana State is playing tomorrow at noon. You know, honestly, it's all great stuff. So we are here for the Missouri Valley. Indiana State, I honestly, Donnie, I was surprised to see them at only plus 135 as favorites to win this one. You know, my outsized college basketball experience coming in as a more casual observer of the sport. I've at least heard of Indiana State, and I know that they have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as their leading scorer. Mm. So I at least knew about Indiana State. I thought they'd be like, you know, minus 150 to win this tournament. What is the deal in the Missouri Valley Conference?
Yeah, Robbie Avila, the guy that's been following around here on social media, and hopefully they do make the tournament because he will be a lot of fun to watch on the national stage. But as always, as we like to update the people about who we think is going to win this tournament, you got to get the people exactly how the tournament is broken down, because so many times in the lower level conferences and mid-majors, you might have the higher seed having home court advantage. Some of these conferences basically just have the place at one of the gym's arenas, which might be the number one overall seed, and or if you're just the highest seed, you always have the home game. That's not going to be the case here in the Missouri Valley Conference. This game is going to be played in St. Louis at the Enterprise Center, and all of the games will be played on a neutral court site. And I wanted to get the people ready for this because the past couple days, right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're sitting here waiting, we're watching college basketball, we're getting the majors, they're playing basketball at night, and so are some of these smaller conferences. But how about this today, March 7th, a noon tip-off Eastern, that's Missouri State and Murray State. You take a look then at 2:30 p.m., that's going to be Valpo and Belmont. Then you have two games tonight, one at 6 and one at 8:30. So we are back to day basketball here in March Madness. Get those dancing shoes on. Now, if we are looking at some of the favorites in the conference, as Davis pointed out, Indiana State's a plus 135 price, followed by Drake at 2-1 and Bradley at 4-1. So you have three teams legitimately that we think can take down this conference. And also at the upper echelon in the standings, this is a conference that plays 20 conference games. Indiana State, which has been ranked nationally this season, 17-3 overall in the MVC, followed by Drake at 16-4 and Bradley at 13-7. The one thing we like about this conference, it's a great quality of basketball. If we look at the adjusted offensive metrics here, 27th in the country is Indiana State, 38th in the country is Drake, 76th is Bradley, 110th is Northern Iowa. So a good portion of this conference is in the top 100 in adjusted offense. So you are going to get some tempo and some really clean play. But I'm with you here. Indiana State is probably the best of it. And keep in mind also the byes. We'll get to some other tournaments here in just a bit. The top four seeds receive a bye here, waiting on the teams of the lower seeds here. The one thing I always think is interesting here, Davis, is when you're playing not on your home court, but a neutral site, you get that slingshot momentum from already playing and winning in that arena before the higher seed gets to do that. It always makes it interesting here, but chalk is probably going to win out. And from a rooting interest, come on, man, Indiana State, man, Avila out there, let's go.
So about betting on these tournaments, I'm a little curious. These tournaments, these conference tournaments where the teams have already played each other, where there's so much experience, how do you approach that? Like, obviously, it's a lot different than, for example, betting on these March Madness games where you're like, all right, we've got Florida Gulf Coast against Baylor, right? Two teams that have not played each other, no common opponent overlap, whereas we get into the Missouri Valley or the West Coast Conference, which we're about to talk about, and these teams they've been around the block. You know, the coaches know each other, the players know each other, they've all seen each other. How do you go about betting these and dealing with like the motivation factor and everything for these tournaments?
It's a great question because you're right about this. In March Madness, you're not getting like versus like matchup. You said, Donnie, what are you talking about? Get to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. They're really good teams playing each other. I get it. But in the early rounds, you're taking a look at teams, and I equate this, Davis, to betting early in the college basketball season, which I call the silly season until we get to conference play. You're playing, you know, 12, 13, 14 games out of conference, some high-level opponents, some lower-level opponents. So how do you gauge those interests? We don't have to do that here in conference play. You're right about it. We just told you. These teams played 20 games in conference play. And when I say like versus like opponents, you're dealing with the same guys you're recruiting, the same talent level for the most part. And for me, it's more advantageous, Davis, to bet the conference tournaments than it actually is betting into March Madness. Because again, we have that backlog here to take a look at. We also have these teams, hey, they matched up twice already this season. How did they do here? So I love the fact of betting conference tournament a week, because you're right. These opponents know each other. The numbers are there, and you should be able to bet them accordingly and make some money.
All right. Now we are going to move from the Missouri Valley to the West Coast Conference, the conference known, I think, best probably for the presence of Gonzaga and St. Mary's, two teams that even a casual college basketball fan would be able to pick up on. Then we have a bunch of schools that you don't associate with sports at all: Portland, Pacific, San Francisco, Loyola, Marymount, Pepperdine. I mean, look, they're great schools, man. You would love to get a law degree from Pepperdine. I don't know if you would like to be the starting point guard there. Is there any way to profitably wager on this tournament? Do you like any of these teams to generate an upset maybe at some point there? How are we breaking down the West Coast Conference?
I'd say it was a lot of fun with the West Coast Conference. St. Mary's rolling through this conference at a 15-0 number until they met on Saturday and took on Gonzaga, which they lost to, which dropped them to 15-1. But that game wasn't all that big in the standings, because coming into that basketball game over the weekend, St. Mary's had already wrapped up the WCC, which typically we figure is always wrapped up by Gonzaga. The one thing that it did do for us here is it probably put both of those teams equally on, you know, footing to get into March Madness without winning the conference itself. So if you take away needing the automatic bid for St. Mary's and Gonzaga, that means other teams in conference play certainly will have to win this tournament in order to get into March Madness here. But having said that, the WCC, which I do like here, and by the way, Davis, you take a look at the setup. It's going to be in Las Vegas here. The one thing that it does, it rewards you for a very good regular season. Instead of some of these conferences running even their top seeds through the gauntlet, playing four games to try to win their conference, you know what happens with St. Mary's here? They got to win two basketball games. Same thing with Gonzaga. They got to win two basketball games in order to cut the nets down. And also, usually it's like, okay, you have a single bye, which is, you know, prominent here throughout the conference tournament landscape. Some conferences will give you the double bye. How about this conference in the WCC? A triple bye for St. Mary's before they have to play a basketball game, which again is really interesting, because if you can get momentum and win a few games before even taking on St. Mary's in the conference tournament, maybe you can get that headwind and sort of find yourself with an automatic bid, maybe for a Santa Clara, if they can do some damage and pull an upset like a St. Mary's. And as I just said, coming into this, look, I'm not going to take anything away from the schools with Gonzaga and St. Mary's. They're both already going to be in March Madness. It's not as if they're entering in this game the same way I looked at it last weekend, Davis, saying, you know what? St. Mary's already won. It's not a big deal to them. Gonzaga can go in and beat them in Moraga. No, these are rivals. They want to win every game they can, which includes cutting down the nets in their conference tournament. So St. Mary's is not going to come into this tournament going like, won the regular season. We're already in, March Madness at this point. They want to improve their seed line, and they want to cut those nets down. They want to get the rings here and the automatic bid and everything that comes along with it. Same thing here for Gonzaga. So if I'm looking at cutting the nets down and winning, you know what? I just saw Gonzaga go in and beat St. Mary's. Give me Gonzaga in this tournament here. It's a two-team race. I'm taking Gonzaga to win this thing.
You know, I've always actually thought that what you just mentioned about the buys for the Big 12 tournament, and this was back, by the way, mm-hmm. when the Big 12 used to not be like the basketball conference. It would always be like Kansas and then one of Oklahoma, K-State, every once in a while West Virginia would be really good. But now that the Big 12 is like a verifiable, like actual, you know, basketball conference a la, you know, the Big East in the 90s or whatever, they really should do something to make sure that these teams are not just beating the crap out of each other heading into the tournament. Because, you know, Kansas would always have to play like a minimum of two really tough games heading into, whether it was Roy Williams or Bill Self being the coach, they would always have these really difficult games in the semifinal and the final of the tournament. Or even worse, you know, you lose to a good team and it just ends up being kind of brutal. We got one game to break down here. Arizona, UCLA, 9:30 East. I'm going to go ahead and guess DRS is not going to stay up for the end of Arizona, UCLA. Do we have a play in this one, Donnie?
Yeah, I mean, it should be an easy victory nonetheless here for Arizona as you line them up. You know, what do you like? It's even if you're not even a betting guy, say, just give me a little bit of statistics here, Davis, right? Well, how about if I told you number one by a wide margin in offensive efficiency, Arizona's the best team in conference play? Great. That means they probably have a lot of tempo, which they do, but don't play much defense. They're also number one overall in the Pac-12 with defensive metrics in efficiency as well. And also, if you're looking for a UCLA lineup that's like, you know what, there's 12 teams in conference play, we can really be effective here. Nonsense. They're 10th overall in efficiency in conference play. Effective field goal percentage, they are dead last, which means they don't shoot a great percentage. And if you're going up against Arizona that seemingly can score with ease, The 11th best three-point shooting team in conference play out of 12 teams is UCLA. How about moving inside the paint, inside the arc? 12th out of 12 teams shooting is UCLA. It doesn't line up all that well for the UCLA Bruins, and even though they're home team at Pauley Pavilion, Arizona should go ahead and roll tonight. They should.
Yeah, I'm hoping that. We also got another quick one here. Washington State. I actually probably will play an under on this one, Washington State. My thesis, Nani, just in general, with trying to bet college basketball as we get into the tournament, I look at the total, and I go, you know what? I don't think these kids are going to make that many shots. I take the under 148.5. Washington State, we're going to go ahead and run at a break here real quick on the program. Donnie and I will be back for a little bit of NBA action. Don't go anywhere. See you in a few seconds.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Basketball, college basketball, we got you covered already. And as we told you, there is day basketball going on in college, which is fantastic. It's conference tournament time. We get you caught up every single day on what you need to know. New conferences coming in seemingly every day. Next week, the big boys get underway with much more previews here. So you're definitely going to want to keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159 for all of those updates. But today, right now, let's talk some NBA action. And as we had the Fade the Public poll earlier, we might be looking at an NBA Finals preview. It's Donnie Wrightside. It's Davis Maddock. Let's have some fun tonight in the association. Those Boston Nuggets traveling to Elevation to take on the Denver Nuggets. 10 p.m. tip-off. A favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We actually opened as a one-point favorite to the Celtics. And now that is currently flipped over as a one-point favorite here for the Denver Nuggets. A total of 221. Davis, what are we looking at tonight? Denver Nuggets, Boston Celtics, maybe a preview of the NBA Finals.
Definitely a potential preview. These teams have already played once, and the Denver Nuggets were, look, they were the better team. They ended up winning that game. I think the Denver Nuggets, they're sort of in that unique position that a lot of these great NBA teams can be in, where the regular season, not that important. It's okay if the Denver Nuggets are not the number one seed. Right now, they would be playing the Phoenix Suns in the NBA playoffs. Now, obviously, that is not ideal. However, we have been reporting on this show about the injury to Karl Anthony Towns. We have seen a decrease in the Western Conference odds and the NBA Finals odds for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We could see the Denver Nuggets being the one seed, the two seed. I don't think the Clippers are going to be able to get there. What I'm specifically looking for in this game, the first thing, and it'll be a pretty obvious tell in how much the Denver Nuggets care about this game, who is going to sub in for Nikola Jokic the first time that he subs out? Because if the guy who subs in for Nikola Jokic the first time is Christian Braun, Peyton Watson, or Reggie Jackson, that means that Aaron Gordon is going to be the backup center in this game, which is pretty much the telltale sign that the Denver Nuggets are really trying and that they really want to win a game. If DeAndre Jordan or Zeke Nnaji subs in for Nikola Jokic, that means that the Denver Nuggets are just playing their regular, you know, nine-man rotation for a regular season game. My guess, Donnie, is that this news about the injury to Karl Anthony Towns is kind of going to force the Denver Nuggets' hands. They might just want to win as many of the next like 10, 11 games as possible and see if they can set themselves up for the one seed. After this game, they go Utah, they go Toronto, they go Miami, they go Spurs, and then they go Mavericks. They're going to be favored by like an average of 7.5 points, maybe more in those games. So you get this game, maybe you rip off a 6-7 game win streak, and all of a sudden you're the favorite for the one seed. I'm going to guess they like super go for this game. That is my guess right now.
For taking a look right here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, clicking down the stats of this basketball game, particularly not the stats on who's going to make shots, but who's betting what. We have 54% here of the money on the spread coming in for the Boston Celtics. And then the amount of spread bets, 55% on the Boston Celtics. So a pretty even split coming into the game tonight. But again, pushing those Denver Nuggets now to a minus 1 point favorite. It's going to be fun to watch that one play out. Also talking about another key matchup here going to take place in Dallas. That's the Miami Heat and the Dallas Mavericks. It's 7:30 Eastern tip time. This line once again opened up at 4.5. Now currently also sits at 4.5. A total coming in at 2 29 right now. So coming down a little bit from that graphic at 231.5. Heat Mavericks tonight. Is it going to be Kyrie? Is it going to be Luka? Is it going to be the Heat culture? What are we looking at tonight, Davis, from this matchup?
I mean, my first instinct is just to kind of bet against the Miami Heat all the time, because the Miami Heat they're kind of the inverse of the Dallas Mavericks. It's definitely a bought, not built style mentality there. I honestly very rarely, I probably a handful of times in my life have I bet against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. The weirdest thing about the Mavericks is they have spent 3 first round picks trying to solve their center rotation, and they still haven't really solved it. Now, they do match up pretty decently against this version of the Heat because they are pretty strong defensively on the interior. They are not nearly as good perimeter defense, but that is where the Miami Heat do most of their damage. I don't like either side of this spread all that much. I think if I was going to make a play on this game, honestly, it probably would be the over, because I don't anticipate the Heat backcourt, you know, that Tyler Herro, Josh Richardson backcourt doing a ton to be able to limit Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic offensively. And the Mavericks have been playing a little bit faster since making all of their acquisitions at center with PJ Washington there. So I don't hate the over there.
Love to get to this matchup next, 7 o'clock Eastern tilt. That's the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers. Now, as we told you, big news breaking there from the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're going to be without Karl Anthony Towns for the foreseeable future. No timetable on his return. If we're looking at the opening numbers of this game, a -2 point favorite for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That has now completely swung over to the Indiana Pacers as a -2 point favorite here. A total that was at 230.5, now down to 228.5. What are we looking forward to here with the Timberwolves tonight without Karl Anthony Towns here, Davis?
You know, this is one of these spots where I feel like as a person outside of that building, like there clearly is some emotions going on inside that Timberwolves locker room right now. Like just imagine yourself, you are Rudy Gobert, you're Anthony Edwards, you're Mike Conley, you're whoever, and you're like, all right, we're the one seed. We're having this awesome season. Sure, maybe we're not as good on offense as we need to be, but the defense is great. And then you are staring at the locker room and you're like, well, I guess we're probably not going to be the one seed anymore, and we really got to dig deep, and the team is going to need the best out of me. And teams always respond to those things in a different way. Now, obviously, as handicappers, as people who are trying to wager profitably on these games, I mean, I know that the absence of Karl Anthony Towns, one, it is going to lead the Timberwolves to playing a bunch of small lineups. They're going to be playing one center lineups where Kyle Anderson is the power forward. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is going to be playing like a lot of minutes now. I guess they probably will try a little bit of a lineup where it would be McDaniels, Conley, Alexander-Walker, Reed, Edwards. Like, they might go super small some here, and you can definitely get away going super small against the Pacers. I think, again, the only wager I would make here, I would not do anything on the spread just in this sample without Towns, but I would go over here. The Pacers play so fast, and if I'm right and the Timberwolves do go to that centerless lineup at all for even like 5 minutes, I think those will be some really high scoring stretches.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Minnesota Timberwolves adjust to being without Karl Anthony Towns. We'll certainly find out a little bit of that equation tonight as they are now underdogs taking on the Indiana Pacers. Let's move it forward in the Valley. We don't mean the Missouri Valley. We're talking about the Valley of the Sun. That's the Toronto Raptors and the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns opened at the FanDuel Sportsbook as a 10.5-point favorite, which is exactly where they sit currently here. A total of 232.5 at the opening number, now sitting at a 233. Phoenix Suns, Toronto Raptors, in the Valley today here, Davis. What can we anticipate?
I mean, probably, honestly, a game that is not going to be at the top of any one's league pass menu tonight. I don't think anyone's really logging on. I don't think Raptors fans are that excited to watch this iteration of the team. I don't think that Suns fans, honestly, are all that enamored with what they're seeing every single night either. The Raptors are one of the most banged up teams in the NBA right now. Scottie Barnes is out. Oche Agbaji is now listed as questionable. Bruce Brown and Jakob Poeltl are out. So they're just playing like a very bizarre rotation of guys, I guess, things to watch for. I mean, one, can Grady Dick continue to be the greatest 3-point shooter in Raptors franchise history? It's like, he actually, if that guy can get to be like a a C-plus defender. He's going to be in the NBA for like 15 years because he is a phenomenal shooter. On the Suns' side of the ball, I mean, these are the games they absolutely have to win to stay out of that play-in muck. Like, they cannot be dropping any of these games where they are 8, 9, 10-point favorites. They right now do not have Devin Booker. Bradley Beal is on a minutes restriction. So it does kind of come down to Kevin Durant showing up to the office and getting buckets, which, like, obviously he's one of the greatest of all time at.
Yeah, anticipated starting lineup tonight for those Phoenix Suns. Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, Kevin Durant, and Yusuf Nurkic. You're not a long-term injury for Booker, but still out, still waiting to see that big three. And if they can get maybe a dozen games in together down the stretch, that would be great. But something tells me that's probably not going to happen. Let's take a look at a couple teams on back-to-backs tonight out in the Bay Area. 10 p.m. tip. That's the Chicago Bulls and the Golden State Warriors. This line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook as a favorite towards the Golden State Warriors at a -7 price. It's now risen currently live to -7.5, a total that opened up at 223.5, now sits at 224. Two teams on back-to-backs, both victorious, one with an easy one last night and one on the road in elevation. Is that line telling us the Golden State Warriors might be in store, Davis, for another blowout victory?
Yeah, give me the Warriors here. These are, again, actually very similar to the Suns. These are the games the Warriors absolutely cannot be messing around in. This has got to be, like, Curry's got to be playing 38 minutes here. We got to be going with the Draymond at center, you know, early and often. I actually think, you know, controversial maybe, like, that they really have found something with this Klay Thompson off the bench lineup, because what it means is that Klay and Curry, really for the first time in their careers, their minutes are more separated from one another than they ever have been before. But the Pajemski Thompson lineups, you know, with Pajemski as the ball handler, like, there's actually a lot of space on the second unit. And this used to be way back in the day, and it's kind of the reason why they made so many of the trades they have. The Warriors would get killed, just killed in the non-Curry minutes. And now, over like the last month of the season, they're not winning the non-Curry minutes, but instead of being like, I mean, look, you're a Philly fan, you know what it's like to be losing the minutes when your stud player is not on the court. They are kind of hanging around now in the non-Curry minutes with the combination of Paul Pajemski and Klay Thompson. And, you know, Moses Moody is finally like a real NBA rotation player. Kuminga is finally having his breakout season. They are, you know, they're getting healthy. Like, the Warriors, man, you can't, if you kill them, you really better make sure that they are dead, because there were a lot of people who were, you know, Draymond gets suspended, Chris Paul breaks his hand, and everyone is writing the eulogy for the Golden State Warriors, and I think it was a little early. So I do like, I think one you could do tonight would be Warriors money line over the total, Curry over 3.5 three-pointers, Klay Thompson over, I think his prop is generally 13.5 points. I like all of those as a nice little correlated play there.
Pedigree, people, that wins championships. We'll see if you can catch lightning in a bottle one more time for the Golden State Warriors. About a minute to go in this segment here. Let me ask you about this game here, the San Antonio Spurs and the Sacramento Kings. The reason I'm bringing this up is you have a heavy favorite for the Kings at a -11, the price, who won yesterday in Los Angeles, now coming home in a total, the highest of the night, 237. Tired legs for the Kings, or they got more in the tank for that 237, Davis?
I mean, the Spurs defense is just like, dude, it's so bad. I mean, outside of Wembanyama, they don't really know what. And Wemby has, I want to say, a shoulder injury right now. He's listed as questionable the other night. So we just might not get him tonight, which would mean a Zach Collins, Jeremy Sochan front court there for the San Antonio Spurs. Don't think that is going to be stopping the Kings all that often.
There you go. And one more game tonight there, the Nets and the Pistons, which, again, who cares? Why? Because Ben Simmons is sitting out the rest of the year. So there go the Brooklyn Nets title hopes in 2023-2024. The Pistons, 2.5 at home, trying to fight with the Wizards as being the worst team in the NBA. Best bets on the card. I'm looking for a rebound tonight. Do I get it? You know I do. Coming up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One more segment here before we get you out of the day and the rest of your Sports Grid programming. So don't change the dial anywhere. SiriusXM channel 159. It's Davis and Donna here. And this time we like to give out our best bets of the day. Now, yesterday for me, Davis, I told the people out here, I couldn't even bet on the game in New Jersey, but I wanted Villanova over Seton Hall. And Seton Hall beat Villanova yesterday. So I'm in bounce back mode here on a Thursday. For me, I'm going to go to the NBA in the biggest game of the night. Why not? Let's go star hunting here. That's the Boston Celtics and the Denver Nuggets. A slight favorite here towards the Denver Nuggets, who last time we saw them dropping a game to the Phoenix Suns in overtime. They're very good at home. We get that. Last time we saw the Boston Celtics here, struggling a little bit there with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They had a blowout game against the Golden State Warriors. I'm looking for a bounce back tonight here for the Boston Celtics. I'll take the 1 point in elevation for the Celtics to let the Nuggets know we meet up here in May and June. We're going to be able to handle our business. Give me the Celtics tonight to beat the Nuggets, Davis. Where are you going tonight with your best look?
All right, well, I was wondering who you were going to take, Donnie, because I'm taking the Denver Nuggets. I'm taking the Denver Nuggets at home against the Boston Celtics. Now, we're doing the show again tomorrow morning, so we will be able to harangue each other based on the winner or the loser. As I said this a little bit earlier when we had with Brian on, but I think that the Nuggets are going to take this game super seriously. Aaron Gordon is the backup center, 8-man rotation, 40 minutes for Nikola Jokic. And look, man, the king stays the king. Nikola Jokic is the king until someone knocks the crown off his head. Give me the Denver Nuggets and the over in the game total, by the way, as my favorite bets this evening.
Yep, Davis is wrong. Donnie, as his last name is, right side here. So we got a head-to-head tilt tonight, boys. And again, college basketball on the way in the afternoon. The NBC Arch Madness gets underway. The WCC out on the West Coast. So many other conference tournaments beginning. And also, we got you covered right here on the Sports Grid Network. No better place to be to check out all of this action than right here on the network. So tomorrow, as Davis said, we are going to do it again. And also, more previews on the way. We had a lot of guests today, a lot of fun. Oscar Stalk, yeah, we covered that as well. For Davis Maddock, I'm Donnie Wrightside, and the rest of the crew here on the Sportsbook Network. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow on a Friday.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.